Sermon text this morning from the book of Revelation. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. Thus far the words of our text. Christ is risen!
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, the Easter readings from the book of Revelation have pointed us to the resurrection from the dead and the life everlasting. And what a wonderful topic that is to dwell and think upon. I mean, when you got up this morning, although in our family, at least my wife and I had a little conversation about the hour that the sun was peeking out this morning and the birds were chirping, for those of you who had your windows open at 3:30 this morning when the birds were going. But other than that, how fantastic is it? The sun is shining, the cool air is out, it's a beautiful day, it's glorious, it's a wonderful time to be talking about the resurrection of the dead, the life everlasting, our hope of glory, our looking forward to the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and living eternally in blessedness and peace. You and I, as the body of Christ on earth, we are all looking forward to the resurrection of the dead. And Scripture gives us the picture of the city of God. It gives us the streets of gold, the gates of pearl, and so on and so forth. God is giving John a description of what it will mean for the Christian to live in his presence. Because the city of Jerusalem, when you read that, it stands in for the presence of God. And when you're reading the book of Revelation and you see the word Eden in there, it refers to the perpetual care and the blessing of God. And so you hear this heavenly Eden, heavenly Jerusalem. What's it going to look like? Well, we're not really told, but we know what it's going to be like. Right? What this looks like physically remains to be seen by us, because as St. Paul says, now we see through a glass darkly. Now we know in part, then we shall know fully. Suffice it to say that whatever kind of physical life we have in the resurrection, we will see and experience the blessedness of God. And God will richly supply all of our needs as He did with Adam and Eve in paradise before the fall into sin. It's what Christians look forward to. We look forward to the second coming of Christ and the glory that will attend His second coming and the glory that we will have and live in. And Jesus declares for us in our reading, He says, "Behold, I am coming soon." And the seal is put on those words of the book of Revelation, that the prophetic message of this book is trustworthy and it is true. And this leads the believer to long for that second coming. It leads the believer to desire that Jesus come quickly, that Jesus come soon. Not only that, as believers called by the Holy Spirit to faith in Christ, we don't want to keep this message to ourselves. We want to go out and spread this message to others. We want our children and our children's children and our neighbors to be in glory with us. We want everyone to hear the word of Christ. The word of forgiveness, the word of reconciliation. We want to hear the Father say to everyone, "My son, my son, my son, come to the inheritance prepared for you before the foundations of the world were laid." Especially as Christ's return draws nearer, we want to have this proclamation go forth. And it is appearing that, as the Scripture has shown us, that the day of Christ's return clearly is getting closer and closer. It does even seem to me that we are now living in a new Tower of Babel era. Remember how there was one language in the Tower of Babel times, and the people were denying God's command to fill the earth and subdue it? And what did God say? He said, "One people with one language, nothing that they propose to do will be impossible for them." I was thinking, it's like we live in a virtual Babel era. And I say virtual because the one language that we have common to humanity now is a visual language. right? Images of violence are before us, or titillating images are before us, and images of kindness trail way far behind those other images that are before us. And I'm wondering, with such a universal language, you know, that the internet has brought to us and all the attending things with it, what will humanity do with all this? How will humanity respond? And that all remains to be seen, but we simply know that each day that the sun rises is one day closer to the second coming. As St. Paul writes, salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. And Jesus says multiple times in the book of Revelation, behold, I am coming soon. This is so urgent that in the places in John's Revelation, Jesus himself interrupts the angel who is showing John all of these things. And Jesus says, he says, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and guards his garments so that he might not walk around naked and so they might not see his shame. So near is the time of Christ's return that the angel tells John, people will have very little time to change their manner of life. And despite the dire warnings, many people will not listen to the call to repentance and will continue to remain filthy in God's eyes. I thought this brings some tension and some questions to the mind. The time is near, it is so near that humanity is given the urgent warning to stop violating the will of God. Because now is the time, not tomorrow. We may not have a tomorrow. We may not live to see tomorrow, or Jesus may come today. There is no tomorrow. So we wondered, which is better? To hold out the glories and the wonder and joy of heaven and life eternal? So somebody says, yes, that thing, that is what I want. Or to hold out the awfulness of being cast into the outer darkness in the suffering and the torment of pain of eternal death. So that a person says, no, I do not want that. I don't know which way to go. Each situation demands a different response to each individual person. But since Jesus himself gives warning, how about we take a few moments this morning and look at the inverse of glory? Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers, the sexually immoral, the idolaters, the murderers, everyone who loves and practices falsehood. Folks, either way, there is a resurrection. There is either a resurrection to eternal life, or there is a resurrection to eternal death. There is a resurrection to eternal life inside the city of God, or a resurrection to eternal punishment outside of those city walls. And it is important to remember what eternal damnation is described as. First, we are told that it is separation from God. Now, human beings were created to be in perfect communion with God. Now that was all wrecked in the fall into sin, but that's the way we were created for. Created to be in perfect communion with God. And so the essence of eternal death is separation eternally from God. Human beings were made for communion. Living in communion with God is a supreme joy and delight. Remember the Transfiguration, where the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration said, it is good, Lord, for us to be here. Let us stay. Why? They didn't want to leave the joy. They didn't want to leave the delight of the Transfiguration. Banishment from God's presence then involves the most unbearable suffering of both body and soul. And to describe this, Scripture uses a variety of terms, but they all point out this agony. It is called tribulation and anguish. Being in torment in the flame, where the fire is never quenched and the worm does not die. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth and wailing. That is what eternal death is described as. Eternal punishment is described as. You and I, we together sympathize with the person's inability, the inability of the human mind to comprehend this or to fully understand it. Because the thought of never-ending torment of thinking rational humans, fully aware of what pain they are suffering and why they are suffering it, is so horrid that it can't be fully comprehended. However, there is no way that we can measure or evaluate the Creator based on human sentiments or human judgments. We just can't use guesswork to know God. We can only know God according to His divine and revealed will in the Holy Scripture. He will say to those who reject the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ, "Depart from me." And they will be cast into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that will be the reward for the rejection of Christ, the rejection of Jesus. The believer, on the other hand, will have a reward also. Jesus says, "I am coming soon. Behold, my reward is with me." Now, do you get that? It's not your reward. It's Jesus' reward. Jesus is bringing His reward with Him. And that's the great exchange. Jesus did righteousness on your behalf. He took your sin. He paid for your sin. And He gives you His reward, the reward He earned. Granted, we're not hardwired to think like that, but that's why this is divine revelation, so that we understand we don't earn it, we're given it as a gift. Christ says, "My reward," not their reward to the believers. To the unbeliever, He says, "Their reward." Unbelievers get their reward. Why? Because they reject Christ's reward. The believer gets Christ's reward, the reward which Jesus Himself earned. And what is the reward? The reward itself is the gift of eternal life in God's holy presence, earned for God's people by the death and the resurrection of the Lamb of God. Responding to all of that which Christ has earned for us, eternal life in God's presence and eternity in God's care, we who trust in Jesus Christ call out, "Come. Come, Lord Jesus." We, His servants, cry out just like Simeon has said, "Let thy servant depart in peace." We cry out for the Lord Jesus to come back and to return and to bring us into glory with Him. We cry out to the world, "Come, Lord Jesus." To which Jesus replies, "I am coming quickly." So let all God's people agree, "Amen, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. Amen." And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds to the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen.